Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on May 25th, 2018. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube.
And I am Chanono Kawande.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about Africa Day and some Zimbabwean issues.
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 meter wave frequency and on the 4930 and 15460 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can get us on voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com and voandebele.com.
If you've just joined us tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are talking about Africa Day and the situation in African nations, including Zimbabwe.
Every year on May 25th, African nations commemorate Africa Day, set aside to celebrate the successes of the African Union, formerly known as the Organization of African Unity, or AU, which was formed in 1963 to fight against colonialism and apartheid.
This is a time to also assess African unity and reflect upon common challenges, including internal conflicts, hunger, economic decay, and other issues.
So please join us on the show right now and tell us what you think about Africa Day. Please note that we are live streaming this show right now on our Facebook pages, VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and VOA Ndebele.
Yebambe mahlabezulu lingalithola njani lapho likhona khona ngapho ke endaweni sijeneyo lo ngokhiphs tube kuhlelo Live Talk. So ke lamhla ke sikhuluma ngeAfrica Day. Sakwasithola lusuku oluqhathekileyo kakhulu lapho ke izwe kazi leAfrica elikhuluma ngokunengi okuhambelana lokwenzakala khonapho. Sikhuluma ke nje kunje amazwe amaningi kula khona kunje kutshala besilwa. Siyabona ke ukuthi ngayi Nigeria kunjalo kuyaliwa. Kuyebuya iSomalia kunjalo kuyaliwa. Xa sesiya eZimbabwe siyabona into ezomba ngazo ngazane zibambile nki. So ke sifuna ukuthi sizwe ngani ukuthi iAfrica Day liyibona njani njalo lokuthi emazweni enu kuhamba njani. So ke asiqoqeni sibone ukuthi singathini. Lingakhohlwa ukuthi siya live streamer ke udaba lolu ku VOA Studio 7, VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona. So asipompeni sibone.
Nasi tirikutarisa zuva reAfrica Day iro rava nemakore mazhinji richipembererwa rakatanga kupembererwa 25 years ago makore makumi maviri nemashanu apfuura rakafomerwa kuti ripemberere kubudirira kwakaita nyika dzemuAfrica rakafomiwa neOrganization of African Unity. Saka toda kuti titarise tichirejedza zuva iri tichiona zvarakabatsira neparakatadza nezvinofanira kuitwa kuti rirambe richiyebuchidza vanhu vomuAfrica pamusoro pemagariro avo. Musakanga mauti chirongwa chedu ichi chiri kubudawo paFacebook pedu pavoa shona .com, voandebele.com ne voandebele.com. Jure.
Yeah, kunjalo ke, what we have today is a very special guest. And our special guest is Mr. Obed Kudu. He's the Vice President of the MTCT, led by Dr. Thokozani Kube. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Good evening, gentlemen. Sisonge, happy Africa Day.
Yes, so for a start.
One love Africa.
Yes, for a start, you are here in Washington. Any special event?
No special event as such. I've just been excited. Today is Africa Day. You know, I'm African. Every inch, my blood is African. My brain is African. My toes are African. Everything about me is African. So I'm excited that today we are commemorating Africa Day. And I've just been, you know, talking to other people, you know, just, you know, comparing notes and reading about Africa and just synthesizing about being African. And I'm actually very excited that I'm here today on Africa Day.
But are you happy with what is happening in Africa in terms of, you know, there are so many conflicts in different countries?
You know, Africa is, I would say that I'm an Afro-pessimist optimist as a starting point. I see Africa rising. I believe in the Africa rising, you know, doctrine or dogma, as some people might want to call it. I see Africa as a continent on the move. I see Africa as a continent that is actually getting out of, you know, the old, you know, space of wars, of, you know, conflict, of political instability, you know, both within nations and, you know, within ethnic groups in same countries. I see Africa actually getting to the next level. So I think that, of course, there's a long way to go for Africa. But quite honestly, the future looks very bright for Africa. The future looks very bright for Africa. And also, when you look at it, that all African countries, I think even the Sahrawi Arab Republic in the northwest of Africa, I'm sure they, by now they're, I'm sure they are gaining their independence, or they've already gained their independence. And I believe that with the total political emancipation or liberation of Africa, the next thing that we should now focus on as Africans is the socioeconomic liberation of Africa. Mm-hmm. Because Africa is too rich to be poor. Africa is rich. But the irony is that Africa is too rich to be poor.
But the problem is there's too many conflicts in Africa, Zimbabwe included.
Oh yeah, there are too many conflicts.
Why?
But like I said,
why is it so?
No, I think you should also look at our colonial, you know, legacy, the baggage that came with colonialism. Because colonialism, I think, was one of the worst things to ever happen to Africa. Why? Colonialism divided us as Africans, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. Colonialism also created what I would call artificial political boundaries. Mm. I mean, look, let's go back home to Zimbabwe. We are talking of Zimbabwe and Zambia, Zimbabwe and South Africa. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Zambezi River. There are the Tonga people on the other side of the Zambezi River, on our Zim side of the Zambezi River. Mm-hmm. You cross the Zambezi, there are the Tonga people. Let's go down south, Limpopo River. Mm-hmm. You find the same. You have the Venda people on the other side of the Limpopo, the Venda people on the other side of the Limpopo. They are supposed to be in two different countries, but these are the same people. We can go on and on. Let's go to Mozambique.
The borders are there.
Those are artificial borders created by colonialists.
How can we go against those borders?
No.
Since those borders have been erected, they're there.
I appreciate.
So now, what should happen?
I believe that now is the role of us. Let me refer to ourselves now as the new Africans. As new Africans, we should now look beyond those, I'll continue to call them artificial political, you know, borders, political boundaries, and look at Africa as one. You know, when people like Bob Marley sing about, you know, Africa unite, even the late Muammar Gaddafi, when he talked about the United States of Africa, I remember many people thought maybe he was high on something. But when you look critical and think critical about it, about the United States of Africa, the USA, not the United States of America, but the United States of Africa.
Yeah.
It is possible. But when you look at it, Africa is one nation. Africa is one
but
country.
But you're talking like a pan-Africanist, right?
Maybe yes.
You can chip in there.
Kana mukatarisa Zuvari Africa Day. Munoona kuti zvaraka tarirwa kuti riite makore 25 years apfuura. Munoona sekuti rabudirira here zuva iri ku batsira vanhu kuti varangarire nenyaya yeAfrica.
Comrade Wandamvunzo, unyo wakanaka zvikuru. Ngatitarise
1963.
Ichiri Organization of African Unity, the OAU. Mukaona mitekwa-tekwa yakaumba OAU. Vana Kwame Nkrumah, vana Julius Nyerere, vose vavo. Those were visionaries. And chinangwa chavo chachiri chokutanga kusunungura Africa. Nokuti 1963, I think, ruzhinji rweAfrica. Nyika dzoma Africa zhinji dzanga dzichiri pasi pe colonial powers, either Francophone Africa or Anglophone Africa or even Lusophone Africa. Tinoziva kuti nyika zhinji dzava nekuzvitonga. Nyika dzanga dzava nekuzvitonga dzava dziri shomanene kudai vana Ethiopia vakagara vasina kuitwa colonized nana Ghana vakaita independence kare kuma 1957 nedzimwe nyika dzakadaro. But I think almost 90% of African countries dzanga dzichiri under colonialism. Chinangwa chavo chachiri chokuti Organization of African Unity ngatisunungurei Africa kubva kucolonial domination tuve nekuzvitonga. Zvino kuzvitonga uku kwakanga kwachionekwa nandingangotiwo mafounding fathers and founding mothers of the OAU kwanga kwakanaka nanhasi kuchakanaka nekuti chinangwa chavo chachiri chokuti toda kuti Africa ive Africa ine kuzvitonga kuzere. Africa ive Africa inokwanisa not only kuzvitonga as in political independence, but now we should also now focus on mafounding fathers and founding mothers, but there were more fathers, I think, than mothers then. Vanga vachifocusa more on political independence. But I believe that our vision now as the new Africans is to take that vision of the Kwame Nkrumahs of this world, of the Jomo Kenyattas of this world, to the next level. To look at an Africa, Africa that is rising. Africa that is rising economically. An Africa that doesn't rely on aid, but on trade. An Africa that doesn't rely on food aid. It is very painful, Comrade Wande. Gibbs. Kuti tirimu Africa, tine zose, tine muka, tine land, tine climate, akanaka, kwete munomu. Maji maji mamuru mchando game. Kwa Africa kuna zakadaro. Tine good weather, nzwizi ziriko, zose ziriko, asi tonza zinzona anofana nzara. Tonza zinzivano wa piwa chikafu kupaku USAID. Ini zinondi rwadza kuti, why should in this day and age, in the 21st century, Comrade Wande, Africa, or the bulk of African countries, nonzi, vanavo ma Africa, vari kufane nzara. It's like, anzi, unofane nyota, makumbo, ako, aka nyura mvura, ndozi, rujizika ma Africa. Ndozi, atukuti, isu as the new Africans. Ngati chieza, ene patino gonana hapo, tabane political independence. Ngati chisunungura Africa now, tiwane economic independence. Tikwane si uku jimirira, todo uku ti, tizonzi rimwezua, tatumira chikafu kuno kwa Amerika, shiva kwa Africa. Africa is feeding America, not the other way around. Those who know the ones of
Pang. So, Sibonake, abantu abakulumayo, kunapake Facebook. So, abantu bati, siyakuzwa baba kutu, lapa sikuluma njongo, muntu njongo, nkululeko, uspanda, uti ye, siyakuzwa baba kutu, kutu wake, okutupayo, ikuti Africa akula unit. So, yakuluma lapa mnumzana. Umteteleli mbenge moyo, uti, nkwana kuna bestiki ni tube, yes, ya ubona sivili kakulu. Lok gift, malusu beng, uti nkona, ukumbula ngube la uti ye, la mse stiki ni kanye loketwe pepe. Nasa siya pambili futu Owen Joshua Kumbami uti la mfunu kukena kuchelo lulu. So ke, okay, wato kulio wakulu mbabu kutulapa yukuti, okufuna gala yukuti, hapa nipe bambane, Afrika kweze uti Afrika itutuge kumfanelo. So uti Afrika iya vulega, njalo ufulega wankona, kuya nguti hapa nipa enzani, mazo na chieneyo. So ke, okay, but the big question is, Mr. Kutu, when you look at Pan-Africanism, as you are sounding today like a
pan-Africanist.
The problem is with Gaddafi, who thought of the late Muammar Gaddafi, who thought of the United States of Africa and wanted to be the president. Then we had the former president of Zimbabwe, President Robert Mugabe, who was always, you know, having this kind of conflict with Mandela, because Mandela maybe was outpacing him in terms of, you know, knowing certain things. So the thing is, will there be ever any one African government? You know, like we have the United States of Africa. That sounds utopian, you know?
Yeah, it sounds utopian, Gibbs, but, you know, we have to dream in order for us to achieve some of these things.
But not dream in a bad way, right?
Yeah, not dreaming in a bad way. I mean, just look at the history of this country. Just look at the history of the United States of America.
That on its own sounds like a nightmare.
No, I think it's a dream. I think it's actually a very beautiful, nice dream. I dream of a day when there's going to be the United States of Africa. So when, obviously, when people like Gaddafi were talking about it, well, maybe because of, you know, certain issues around Gaddafi, the person, people maybe were not focusing on Gaddafi, the idea. They're looking at Gaddafi, the person. But when you think deep about it, the idea of having a USA, a United States of Africa, is not utopian at all. Because when you look at Africa, when you look at the Berlin Conference, Africa was divided artificially by the colonizers. And all these colonial, I mean, you can go to West Africa, you can go to East Africa, Southern Africa, even North Africa. You know, the Arabized is Africa. When you look at it, all those boundaries are artificial boundaries. So I'm saying, before the advent of colonialism, Africa was one huge continent. Look at even the cradle of mankind. The cradle of mankind scientifically is supposed to be in Cameroon. What is present day Cameroon? And then people drifted downwards until some of us ended up down here in Southern Africa. But at the end of the day, Africa is one people. That's why sometimes when I listen to people like Peter Tosh singing about you are an African, as long as you're a black man or a black woman,
you're an African.
No, mind your nationality. You're an African. We are all Africans.
Notwithstanding maybe the amount of ganja you had taken while singing.
No. Okay. Maybe ganja can be medicinal. I'm not advocating for ganja, but
Right. Okay. I think we've got somebody on the line. Let's go to
one. Before we go, that can Mr. Guti put on the headphones so that he can hear what?
Yes. Let's go to Honorable Joseph Chuma. Honorable Joseph Chuma is the MP for Pelanda Mpopoma. He's based in Bulawayo. Honorable Chuma, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, we are very fine. 1 minute, tell us about the Africa Day. Just 1 minute, then we proceed.
Well, this is a day which really must remind us Africans that we need the spirit of unity more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Look, we have been made to believe that by dividing ourselves, we gain sovereignty, but at whose expense, really? If you look at it, it is at the white man's expense, the European world's expense, the American expense. Those are the people that actually benefit at the end of the day by causing us here to want to isolate each other and begin to believe in individualism more than being collective, like what Muammar Gaddafi actually died for. He died for trying to bring about the United States of Africa, whereby all the countries will remove their boundaries and their borders and we become one and trade. Because looking at it, this is the richest continent in terms of natural resources, the minerals, and even the weather itself favors Africa a lot. So now, can you imagine if we had all bring our heads together and be sober about this thing, Africa would be a great continent, and we as Africans would then benefit duly from the greatness that Africa has.
Yes, kwa lugha ya Kiswahili kuna kuti ubora nzani kutoi Africa. Hizi manyana yini kuwe lilizwe lotwa. Into zinjalo kumpe kuna kukunia umnumzano kutu kuti United States of Africa. Kungaba kona kumpe kungaba kona. Kupona njani kuna.
Well, you know, in some of the Africa, if you say one and have a Sifira Escaven, so the Sibaman is Mania and Sime in Tonya, Novaguna Manda, Elsie Zelenda only, who would seven or six again. Nabana Matu, you ask me with a lingondo, as he is as Patuna says, Fagalan Ama, Ama Port, allow us about my ponders, where the donor, Singabella Mando, seven, the land and the one over Singal Kangela, it is, I mean, in Sabbath of Africa, who bumbled little zonkins for Nagala, who is Zambia, who is Katuabona, who is Katuabona Muslim, who is Little Quas, who Lima, Mawushi, Israelina, who is Gongalunga Bamba Niswa. Superman says, Amazo, only like a man says, the local,
I'm going to say, to have that this kind of big unity among Africans. Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to pose a question to Mr. Chuma or to Mr.
Mr. Chuma, if you look at the diversity of Africa, if you look at Zimbabwe itself, for example, the number of tribes, languages we have in one country, and if you look like to places like Nigeria, where you have almost 400 languages in one country. If you look at the diversity of Africa, does it not pose a problem in terms of unity, a unified Africa, because of its of Africa's diversity? Is our diversity as Africans or as Africa not going to be working against us in when we are talking about unity?
Well, certainly it would, because even biblically, if you remember when those people were trying to build that tower, or the Tower of Babylon, God then put different languages to make it impossible for them to continue working together. But what I'm saying now is that with the technological advancement and the ways whereby we are beginning to realize that we need to interact and we need to globalize, we need to be together. That barrier, yes, should be there and will be there, but that barrier can be overcome by a lot of technological aspects. I remember one time when I was out of the country, I think I was in Malaysia or China, I was communicating with someone using messages, because what I would do is when I send them a message, I would type my message in English, but when they receive it in their own language, and they do the same as well. they type in their own language, and I receive the message in English. And then that way, it became very easy for us to communicate, and life went on. So what I'm saying is, with all this technology coming up and coming in, the barriers are always going to be there. But I think it is the willpower that we now have as a new generation to actually overcome those barriers and better ourselves, also looking at role models that we can use that we have seen that are being used by other countries, including China, including America itself, and stuff like that. We have seen the strength that they had through unity, and they've built their great nation. And we're saying that it is time now to also say Africa, having all these resources and I'm going to America and Europe, must now use its own resources to develop itself.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chuma. Now we're joined by Dr. Arikana Chiwombori Kwao. She's the African Union Ambassador to USA. Dr. Kwao, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So, talking about Africa Day, give us your thoughts about this day today.
Today is a very special day. Let me take you back to 1885, when our country was chopped up into the countries that we know Africa to be today. And then fast forward, and of course that was all done by design in order to make sure that the Africans were truly defeated and dominated people. The seed of divide and conquer was sown then. Fast forward, 1963, our Pan-African leaders realizing Africa cannot move forward as the small individual economy that were designed to make sure we will continue to be dominated. They came together and created the Organization of African Unity, which we now know as AU, has been renamed since 2002. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was to make sure that we can rebuild that which was destroyed by the colonial masters through dividing us into some of the smallest economies like Burundi, Rwanda, Benin, Togo, economies that clearly cannot survive on their own. So Africa Day, the day that our Pan-African leaders met on May 25th, 1963, it is a crucial day because it marked the beginning of the children of Africa coming together and saying, for us to move forward and take our Africa to its rightful place on the world stage, the children of Africa must be one heart, one voice, one continent, proud and strong.
Now, looking
at that is what we are celebrating.
Yes. But looking at the African continent, we know that there are very serious problems, internal conflicts and all those kind of things. And right now, as we speak, it seems as if former President Robert Mugabe is under house arrest, and nobody wants to say it in the African Union. So at the end of the day, it appears as if this African Union is a club of friends which are not fighting for the causes of people. Is that the case?
Well, that is not quite right. I can tell you when it comes to the situation with President Mugabe. When that situation was taking place, one thing was made very clear to Chiwenga, to Sadak, at that time it was President Zuma, that Mugabe was not to be harmed. No matter what happened, the old man was to be protected. That message was sent very clear. All of the African Union agreed that Mugabe must be protected because he is a father of the continent. He has done a lot for the continent. So when it comes to peace and security, good governance and democracy, that is on top of the agenda for the African Union. Now, you've got to remember that the African Union as an entity does not have sovereignty. However, the individual countries do have sovereignty. So decisions that are agreed upon at the African Union level, they end up having to be implemented by the leaders when they go back to their member states. So the role of the African Union is to continue to negotiate, to coerce, and get these leaders to see reason, be it peace and security, be it refusing to leave power, be it terrorism. At the end of the day, implementation is by the member states. Where we can come in, for example, African Union forces in Somalia, in Chad, in Niger, we're coming in. But when it comes to peace and security in the continent, that ball front and center is in the hands of the African Union, and we're playing a very important role.
Maybe we can pose another question to Chikombori.
When we look at the day, of course it has been celebrated for the last 25 years, Do we see it being made mandatory on every country's calendar?
It was my understanding that it, definitely for the AU it is mandatory.
Oh.
For the AU it is mandatory. It is one of our major holidays. So today is Africa Day. We are not working. All the AU offices are closed.
Yes, and looking at your theme this year, winning the fight against corruption, a sustainable path to Africa's transformation. It seems as if Africa is topping in terms of corruption. So you look at all the African countries, they are top up there. What's wrong? What's going on, Mrs. Kwao?
Well, you have to realize that poverty is the source of all the problems that we're having. If an individual is well paid, there is no need for them to be bribing anybody. But let me take you back to the colonial situation, and let me use a good example of France. Mm-hmm. Some of you may not be aware that where in 1958, when France was giving up its colonies, it made these countries sign a pact for the continuation of colonization. This pact for the continuation of colonization necessitated that all the Francophone countries, they must deposit 85% of their bank reserves with the French bank, with the French Reserve Bank. Mm-hmm. They were, the Francophone countries are only left with 15% of their budget. Then when they try to get the remaining 85% from France, they get hackled like they are beggars. To this day, all the oil discovered and undiscovered in Francophone countries belongs to France. All the minerals discovered and yet to be discovered belong to France. The Francophone countries get only a mere pittance in royalties. It is now documented and known as fact that over $500 billion leaves the Francophone countries every year to go to France. The Francophone countries are paying for French education, French healthcare, French military, when we, the poor people, don't have anything. So, and it all goes back to colonialism. It is also very well documented that there are seven African leaders who were assassinated during a coup, all of them in the Francophone countries. It is well documented that those assassinations were ordered by France because those leaders were trying to do the right thing by their people, and France was not happy about it, and that's why we had all those coups. Not a single coup that took place in Africa was orchestrated by the Africans. So we need to understand our Africa as Africans. So before we start complaining about the leaf on a tree that is dried up and wanted to know why that tree is falling off, let's go to the root of the problem. Is there manure? Is the tree being watered? Let's go to the root of the problem, because that is our problem in Africa. Our problems are much deeper. When you look at corruption, yes, we have corruption in Africa.
Yes.
But who doesn't have corruption? However, the corruption going on in Africa is insignificant compared to the corruption coming from outside Africa. If all the Africans were to stop being corrupt today, there would still be corruption in Africa. So that is our reality. So while we are fighting, let's not forget the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room and concentrate on the monkeys and the squirrels running around the room. The corruption in Africa, I equate it to the monkeys and squirrels, but the corruption coming from outside Africa, that is the 10,000-pound gorilla that we need to tackle.
You know, thank you so much. Stay on the line. We are going to come to you as soon as possible. Let's get to Mr. Kutu here. Yes. So maybe you can pose a question to Mr. Kutu.
Mr. Kutukana, takatarisa tataura nenyaya ye corruption ye uworeji. Dr. Chomboro anoti corruption yakazara kwese kwese kwetu ku Africa kwega. Sei tichiona kuti mu Africa ineta more damage, it causes more damage in Africa than it does in other countries.
And the Lautanga,
yeah, okay.
And Dr. Chomboro, the way she has unpacked the history of corruption, let me call it that.
Very detailed.
Because unfortunately, Isusumu Africa, we become Afro pessimist. We are taught to believe kuti we are Africans, and because we are Africans, we are inherently corrupt. But from what I understand Dr. Chomboro is saying, and I agree with her entirely, when you look at how corruption is engineered and who engineers it and for whose benefit, then you then appreciate kuti corruption in Africa, it's it two cents. Corruption chayo hombe huru irikitwa ma so called developed countries. Mm. You know, the way she has unpacked the history of ma francophone countries, put on paper, they are independent. Yes, they are independent. But when you look at how my economies, particularly francophone countries, and this doesn't only apply to francophone countries, I think to some extent even as the anglophone countries, and even the lusophone mm-hmm. countries, your Mozambique, your Angola, your, you know, etc. If you look at your Cape Verde, etc. If you look at the history, then you find, Kuti, most of the money being generated in Africa or in those former colonies, Mariasho na yo inochengetiru waku, the former colonial masters. And then you ask why, I'm sure she gave the example, Yokuti, 85% of all the financial reserves, Zema central banks, Ema former French colonies, you find them, my reserves are domiciled in Paris, in France. And don't think that they are in France to benefit Africa, no. They're in France to benefit France, primarily. Inongozo yo kunoku Africa, masese, masese, my dregs. So that is the problem that we have in Africa. We have to then extricate ourselves. We then have to talk of the socio-economic independence of Africa.
But, Mr. Kutu, can I pose a question there?
Yes.
Looking at Zimbabwe specifically, mm-hmm. when you talk about this corruption as something being engineered from outside, mm-hmm. with the Willowgate scandal, which was perpetuated by government officials, mm-hmm. with this housing scandal, mm-hmm. in which some senior state officials were involved, mm-hmm. with the May scandal, in which government officials were involved, mm-hmm. with this compensation scandal, mm-hmm. in which some people came that they were 98% disabled. And was it this engineered by France? Was this engineered by Britain?
Very interesting question.
Yeah,
yes.
You know.
I appreciate.
Yeah.
I've never want to run away from admitting liability. Mm-hmm. And this could in Africa, muna corruption.
Right.
But corruption. When you look at the corruption in Africa, most of it is petty corruption. I appreciate, but when you look at the grand corruption, the high level or top level corruption that has impoverished or rather pauperized Africa, that corruption actually is not orchestrated in Harare or in Johannesburg or in Cape Town or in Nairobi or in Ouagadougou. That corruption is orchestrated here in Washington DC, in New York, in Milan, in London.
Only that London, France, and USA are not there to defend.
Yeah.
But we assume that this corruption is right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Corruption is to deny.
Let's bring in Honorable Chuma. Honorable Chuma, I think you have been listening to us here discussing this issue on corruption and all those kind of things. And according to Dr. Chiombori Kwao and Mr. Kutu here, they are actually agreeing that this is being orchestrated from outside. But I've cited examples of the Willowgate scandal, of the housing scandal, of the maize scandal, in which some people were actually stealing maize and selling it. And then we've got the compensation scandal, in which some people came that they were 98% disabled. Is this all about Europeans actually doing things against Zimbabweans? Baba Chum.
You know, the funny thing that's going through my mind right now, mm-hmm. is that since people normally say that you learn from the best. Now, these corruption cases that you are citing, I think people were now copying the real big the deals of corruption that are being orchestrated by those Western ones. I think the lady that spoke here earlier on really unpacked it very well, like what my good brother Gudu just alluded to. Mm-hmm. It has been put so clearly that really if you don't see reason from this, then you are beyond redemption. Look, yes, corruption is there here in Zimbabwe, but it's minute compared to the real things that are happening there. And these guys are actually copying somewhere. They are finding examples to say, okay, we can do this and get away with it, having seen these things happening somewhere else. But we're not saying it's a good thing. It's still a bad thing. And we need to fight that even here. Because you see now, the problem that then happens, like in a little country like Zimbabwe, is that you'll be stealing from already small resources anyway. So once you actually just dip your hands into that pocket, you are just simply emptying it totally, and it becomes unsafe for the whole population because it's now one individual benefiting and eating at the expense of the whole nation. And unlike their economies in America and the France and the Britain, where their economies are booming and they are quite big, so when they do it, we don't really feel it or realize it because they have a lot of reserves. As compared to us, but corruption is corruption. It has to be dealt with. But I think the lady really put it so well that we don't need to add on or separate more, otherwise we'll spoil a very good presentation that she did. Well done to her.
Thank you so much, Baba Chuma. Let's turn to Ikola Ubaba Ndlovu. Baba Ndlovu, how are you doing? Akutsho Ndlovu ukuthi wena ubona njani i-Africa Day njalo lokuthi khonokho kwenzakala leZimbabwe siyabona ukuthi kulabantu abangavumelaniyo kwezombusazwe sizangena khonokho-ke sokusela imzuzu yomlutshwane kodwa-ke ubona njani nge-Africa Day
i-Africa Day ngibona ukuthi yona i-right but inkinga esinayo thine Africa yikuthi laba abantu abangabaholi esibakhethayo noma esabakhethayo ukuthi babe ngabaholi abakwazi ukusikhola into nje abaqala ngaye yaqala nje engayibalisa nje uma kungathiwa kukhulunywa nge-Afrika ukuthi i-Afrika sikhululekile laleli gama ethi i-Afrika singaziqhenya ngalo yikuthi kufanele ukuthi isizwe nesizwe sizibuse kunikezwe isizwe independence like uma ngabalisa nje ngento efana nokuthi like eZimbabwe makhuluma nge-devolution angithi ya uthole ukuthi amaNdebele noma sinayo i-central government but iMathebeleland inezinto zayo ezenzela zona njengeMathebeleland situwe sizokhuluma ukuthi sokunenkululeko lakuma singathatha kuthi babiza yini amathuse namane laba ababelwa ngapho kulawo mazwe lawo
siyakubona ukhuluma ngakho ye
ya kofanele ukuthi uthole ukuthi amathuse anike inkululeko yawo njengamathuse bezibuse noma kuyikuthi i-central government ikhona kodwa mabanikeze inkululeko yabo bezibuse kulapho i-Afrika kuyothola khona ukuthi sikhululekile uma kusesekhona omunye umhlobo okuncindezela omunye umhlobo noma abanye abantu abancindezela abanye i-Afrika ayikakhululeki vele asisakhululeki asisafiki leso sikhathi sokusiza-ke kuloko ukuthi ama-leaders we-Afrika wethu angamasela acatshangela acasha ngamazwe anothile lapho ko-Britain kodwa-ke uma ngizwa mina isindebele sithi indamuva inkosi angithi
ye kunjalo
i-Afrika ithethe ilizwe esigcineni bekufanele ukuthi bona befunde amamiseki ayenziwa ngabanye ngoba iyisi bayazi bengayilandeli leyo ndlela bekwazi bona ukubusa ngendlela efaneleyo but bona bayenza amamiseki mne ngithi ngiwabhekile awekho okudlula laba abawenzayo bona lakuma singabalisa nje iZimbabwe uyazi ukuthi iZimbabwe ori-Southern Africa yabona iZimbabwe abantu yabusa ngabantu ababeqonde ukubusa ababeqonde ukusupporta abantu baseZimbabwe e-Southern Africa abantu asihleli kahle kakhulu but you have got only one country saved by iZimbabwe only one ngenxa yokuthi yabusa ngabantu abanenhliziyo ezimbi ayizange ibuse ngabantu abanenhliziyo ezinhle ibusa ngabantu abanenhliziyo ezimbi until today ilosokusa ngabantu abanenhliziyo ezimbi dasa wabona ukuthi i-Southern Africa iyasokola ngaloko okusokole eyikho khona because of iZimbabwe mina uma ngiyibhekile
ten seconds
yabusa kahle like njenge-South Africa neBotswana konke loko okuhlupheka okukhona la e-Southern Africa bekungekho kube khona
hawu boni-ke Ndlovu
angeke sitsho ukuthi siyabonga ukuthi kona i-Afrika ikhona singalibiza khona kodwa vele abantu abangakhululeka e-Afrika.
Thank you so much Baba Ndlovu. Yeah, thank you.
Ngizwela ngabantu babo.
Thank you so much ukuthi ungenele kuhlelo siyajabula kakhulu ukuthi ube khona. So all what Mr. Ndlovu is saying is that each region like Matabeleland should actually rule itself. Is actually advocating for devolution. He says you remember the Tutsis and the Hutus there was that conflict because of, people not doing the right thing for the other tribes. So he says, if there's a tribe, that tribe needs freedom. So he says, the same must apply to Matabeleland, because it comes from that region. And he says, the leaders that are there right now, they are not good leaders. He says, Zimbabwe was mismanaged from the start. Up to today, they are still leaders who, he says, they are very selfish. So he says, that's why we've got so much chaos in that country. Mm-hmm. So maybe as we we can go to Dr. Chiwombori, so that now we narrow to the issues concerning Zimbabwe.
The question I want to ask, I think Dr. Chiwombori would not be the best person to, because I want to ask about African organizations. Mr. Gutu, I want to put this to you.
Yes.
How effective do you think African organizations have been in molding and bringing Africans together?
Maybe she can go
closer.
I actually think she
can comment after Mr. Gutu.
I actually think that unfortunately in Africa we have failed so far to build strong institutions. Mm-hmm. We've built very strong personalities and very weak institutions. I mean, just talk of corruption, which is the theme of this year's the commemoration of this year's EU Africa Day. Mm-hmm. Which African country has got strong anti-corruption fighting, mechanisms? Very few, if any. And I think we should then introspect, look within ourselves as Africans, as Africa, to say, what can we do now as Africans to build institutions that are strong, especially when we come to the issue of corruption, that will be able to firstly identify corruption, then curb it, then ultimately eliminate it. Mm-hmm. That is where we get or we face the biggest challenge. And we have to admit, as Africa, we have a situation where from Nyika Zakatanga kuwana independence, go back to countries that have been independent for more than 5 decades, for more than 50 years, the Ghanas of this world, they are still grappling nenya the corruption. Nenya is a kuti. When you look at the systems, and this is not only about Ghana, it's I think about Africa, particularly sub-Saharan Africa. We actually have a situation where you can get away with it as long as you are politically connected. You can get away with corruption as long as you happen to know people in high society, particularly in high political society. And that is where we are different, I think, from more advanced democracies like here the US, USA, Great Britain, Japan, France, etc., etc., where, of course, there is corruption, but they try by all means to strengthen their corruption fighting mechanisms, which will say no matter who you are, you might be the president of the country, you might be the prime minister, you might be the richest man or the richest woman. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as you are implicated and there is evidence to say that you are implicated in acts of corruption. You are investigated, you are prosecuted, and if found guilty, you are punished. And that the proceeds of corruption are then forfeited. But in Africa, it's fashionable for people actually to get rich through corruption, and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So I think we should admit as Africans, no matter how little the corruption we have in Africa, it is lower than the grand corruption in former colonial powers. Mm-hmm. But that corruption within our own countries, we should then say, look, ladies and gentlemen, comrades, what should we do to come up with mechanisms? In Zimbabwe, we've got the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission. If you talk to those commissioners, I talk to them very frequently, they'll tell you that they are operating on close to zero budget. But these are the people who are supposed to be fighting corruption in Zimbabwe. But you give them no budget to run that very important constitutional commission to fight corruption. And do you expect them to be effective? So at the end of the day, you are saying, we are shooting ourselves in the foot, Comrade Wande. So what we have to do as Africans is to say, if we are going to liberate Africa socioeconomically, then we should admit it. To say, so far, we have performed very dismally, in fact, very shoddily. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should own up, and we should try to up the game.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Kudu. So let's turn to Dr. Arikana Chiwombori Kwao. Are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Now, looking at the wider perspective in terms of Zimbabwean politics, we are seeing a lot of conflicts that are taking place right now in Zimbabwe pertaining to some political parties. And you as African, as the African Union, are you watching that, or maybe you are trying to correct certain things that are taking place so that this thing won't be exactly like what has happened in the past 38 years?
If you would allow me, please, I wanted to respond to the last speaker.
Go ahead.
When we're talking about corruption in Africa, we got to make sure that corruption is not a monster that's somewhere coming out of the bush. Corruption, the players are you and I. So, why are you and I doing what we are doing? Why are we, those of us in decision-making places, why are we making the decisions that we have? I had to keep beating up on France. But why is it that the Francophone countries, they haven't come up and say, enough is enough, France, get out. It's human beings who have to do that. What I will tell you is, we are crippled ourselves because of the colonial mind that is grabbing us. And let me give it, to take it home, keep it real simple. If you look at, we have people from all over the world coming to Africa. Mm-hmm. They don't have as much pigment as we do. And when they come, why do we put them on a pedestal? It could be a cashier from Walmart. But because they happen to be white, we put them on a higher pedestal. Now, that same person, do you think when they go to the negotiating table, they're going to be able to negotiate with this person from a platform of equality? Our representatives are colonized, and they need to wake up and realize that they are colonized. Because some of the things that are being done to us Africans, we should stop them on their tracks. But we tolerate a lot of nonsense. And I can tell you, in my case, where I am in the circles, you know, you hear comments like, oh, yeah, well, Africa, we tell them what we want. The other countries, we negotiate with them. That's where it begins.
That's painful.
The rest that you see coming is downstream.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the beginning. Why are we taken for granted? They tell us what they want, and we take it. What's being done to Africa is sheer stupidity. Just look at, for example, the sanctions against Zimbabwe. Why?
Now,
we still have sanctions in Zimbabwe.
Yes, we really understand.
The end of the day is the people that are suffering. So now when Zimbabwe is not able to do A, B, C, D, E, mm-hmm. we are worried about, we need to go to the roots. Why were there sanctions? If there were never any sanctions, Zimbabwe would have moved forward. But the sanctions completely crippled the people. What I'm also telling them is those sanctions, the people that were intended for, never missed a meal in their life. It's the people on the street that are suffering. So we need to fight viciously about when sanctions should have been put in Zimbabwe was when Ian Smith was president,
mm-hmm.
was prime minister. Nobody talks about Ian Smith and the crimes that were committed by Ian Smith because he's a white man who committed crimes, so it's okay.
But at the same time, at the same time, Dr. Kwao, we back to my point that maybe it's because of these internal conflicts that take place in Zimbabwe and the AU is looking the other side. So maybe that's why there are such problems.
No, we are not looking the other side. Zimbabwe is getting ready to have elections, and we support that and we are proud of that. We support democracy. At the end of the day, what we want to make sure is that the will of the people of Zimbabwe is granted, that Zimbabweans are able to freely choose their own leader. That's what we support. I can tell you the Peace and Security Department at the African Union is on it because there is no development in Africa without peace and security. So no, sir. So I want to make sure this is clear. The African Union is very involved.
Mm-hmm.
We are very clear about what's happening in each country. Chairman Paki runs around like a chicken without a head, put a fire all over Africa. But the best we can do is continue to talk and negotiate with the leaders when it comes to what is ultimately best for their country. I am saying, for me, it's important that we as Africans, like my brother who was talking about, corruption, in these other countries, believe me, my brother, I have lived here for many years. There is serious corruption here at every level. At every level. You tell me why all these black men are getting shot and not a single policeman has gone to jail.
Are you pleased,
I mean, let's be
Doctor...
serious here. So let's not try to just throw firebombs without thinking through the process. There is serious corruption in this country and around the world. Serious corruption.
Mm.
So let's not allow them, just like they're painting on Africa as this diseased and dying continent. Really? Are you guys diseased and dying? And yet we join them in downgrading Africa and making Africa look like it's a hopeless continent. We are the ones who are agreeing to that. They tell us something that we know is not true. And yet we agree with them. So now they want to highlight corruption, like they don't have corruption in their own country. We need to stop it. We accept and acknowledge that, yes, we do have corruption, but don't try to tell me that my stool stinks more than yours.
Thank you. Maybe we'll come back to your point in a few minutes. Let's see what people are saying on Facebook. We've got Metuli Moyo, who says, why do you cause so much confusion? If you are willing to change, please connect your misunderstanding with Chamisa. I think that's...
that's directed
and get really change. Get good change. I think this directed at you, Mr. Okay. Kutu. And then we've got another one. He's still Mehlulele. He says, why do you call unity like unity while you are failing to do it, Mr. Chuma and Mr. Kutu? Zimbabwe is down because of selfish leaders. Maybe first, let's go to Mr. Chuma. Go for it.
Mr. Chuma, you are the right person to get the first go to answer this question for us.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Selfish leaders. Unity, no unity among people.
Well, I must say, before I go that bravo to, I mean, to this lady, I'm falling in love with her, but not in that other way.
It
was getting exciting.
You know what we mean. You mean honorable Chuma.
You never know it's Chuma.
She's putting it properly to say that let us not allow people to want us to actually downsize ourselves and make ourselves look so miserable and so petty and play around with our self-esteem. She has put it so well. Let us not allow that, and definitely when we do that, we will become a better people. Then when we come to this issue of selfishness, it happens. You see, now, the other problem that I think we ought to correct as a way forward is that we should never, ever give a person too much power, because the power corrupts, and now absolute power that makes it it turns a good person into a devil. So Africa has had this problem of saying that when we put leaders, we then change them from being leaders or presidents, and then start sort of putting them into some demigod sort of status, and we now sort of start worshipping them, and everybody is actually putting themselves to fall on their feet and praise them, then give them that ego, and then they become selfish, and then they then end up turning even the Reserve Bank into their personal account, and that's when everything goes wrong. So I think we need to separate these things. We need, you know, like I remember one day, the former World Veterans Chairman once said that the moment we start calling the president Baba, Baba, and stuff like that, we've lost it. It must always be Comrade President, because once you say Comrade President, it means that you can rebuke him, you can watch his steps and sit down with him and correct him. But the moment you start saying Baba, it's just like at home. How dare do you challenge Baba? It's not known in our culture. So Baba is always right, whether in his wrongness, but we cannot challenge him, and then we keep quiet. Mm-hmm. That. So that's where we have gone wrong, and I think this is what we need to correct as the future generation, to say that, yes, somebody is a president, we bestow that to him or her, but we should never, ever then give him the keys or to actually then control us totally and end up abusing us in the process.
Thank you.
Just like what we've seen happening here in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chuma. We've got a message from Owen Joshua Kombami, who says, I would like to connect with you, Mama. I believe in your voice and understanding. I think Dr. Chiwombori Kwao has got so many fans now. So maybe we have to connect Owen with the with her so that Owen is based in USA. Okay. Maybe he wants to interact with her at a certain other platform. So now looking at the unity in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
So are people,
you can give me my email. It's chihombori@gmail.com.
Can you repeat it again?
My last name, Chihombori, my first initial A, at gmail.com.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think we're, I think we're going to forward that email to him as well. I guess he's listening, and we're going to even write it on Facebook here and there. So now, in terms of unity.
Now, wait a minute. You can't really put my email on Facebook.
Well, we won't do that.
Give it to the young man.
Well, I'll give it to the young man. Yes, I'll do that.
Yes.
I'll do that. Thank you
Otherwise,
so much.
Otherwise, I'll be overwhelmed.
Okay. Okay, no, we'll certainly do that.
You'll also hear from Comrade Chuma. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, unity. It seems as if people are not too united. We are looking at 122 political parties that are opposing ZANU-PF, one party. What's the problem with uniting in Zimbabwe for a better cause?
Oh, that's a very tall
Without
order.
Without mentioning...
That's a tall order, Gibbs.
Yes.
You know, look, as a politician myself, I obviously, I would say I'm conflicted because in the sense that, look, I'm a politician back home in Zim, and I think politics by its very nature, it's a power game. And we have a multi-party democracy, or supposed to be a multi-party democracy back home in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And obviously you can't stop anyone from waking up one morning and saying, I'm
Gibbs United.
I'm Gibbs United, or Hutu United, or One Day United, or what.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what the law says. In Zimbabwe, you don't even have to register a political party.
Mm-hmm.
I can announce a new political party right here, now, live on live talk. I mean, I won't be breaching any laws. Of the land back home in Zim. So I think it's really a question of the culture to say we should look at politics as a vocation to improve the people's lives. And unfortunately, what I have known is, in my other life, I'm a practicing lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized that in Zimbabwe, we have this predominance of this kind of thinking to say, for you to make it, for you to be able to make money, chop chop, for you to be able to lead a good life, for you to be able to establish a business and be able to
politics
connect, your business and be able to get funding from the banks easily without any hassles, you have to be a politician and you have to be politically well connected. So we have to debunk this myth to say that politics is not a profession, but a vocation. So up until such a time that we are looking at politics as a profession or as a source of income, we are actually going to have more and more political parties. So we have to start the hygiene issues. What are the hygiene issues? Let us have this paradigm shift to take politics as a vocation.
Let's stop.
And not as a profession.
Let's stop there.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So now let's have your last word, Baba Chuma. Just 10 seconds. Your last word.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we will agree today, even me and my brother Gutierrez, to say that, yes, definitely, let's not abuse politics, because this is where everything then goes wrong. Let us try and know that when you come into these things, you come into them to serve the people, not to then enrich your own pocket, because then that way it becomes wrong. And also,
thank you, Honorable Chuma. Honorable Chuma, thank you so much.
On one individual.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chuma. Dr. Chihombori Kwao, your last word?
Last word. I would like to ask my fellow Africans to say, why are we afraid of white people? If you are one of those who are afraid of white people, you are suffering from the disease of colonization. I therefore ask you to have a serious conversation with the image in the mirror and ask yourself some very difficult and serious questions that you must answer. And until we decolonize ourselves, Africa is going nowhere.
Thank you.
Happy Africa Day.
Thank you so much. We are out of time and we have to leave it there. We thank our guests this evening, in studio guest, Mr. Opet Kutu of the MDCT led by Dr. Thokozani Kupe, Dr. Arikana Chihombori Kwao, AU ambassador to USA, and Honorable Joseph Chuma as ZANU-PF MP. He is representing Pelandaba Popoma. Signing off is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Bye-bye, and Zimbabwe.
And I'm Janono Kawande. Until next time, please take care and goodbye.
And thank you. You too. Happy Africa Day. Sisonge.
Thank you, sir.